Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Your Owl Post for the week is freshly delivered for the very last time. And I am just one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing. And with me, as she has been every single week, the wonderfully brilliant Drea Kaufman.
Oh, I'm trying not to cry.
It's pretty sad.
It's exciting, but very emotional.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to have wrapped up the series, you know, and I'm like, oh man, but yeah. You know, it is exciting, and it's one of those things where like it just feels like an accomplishment because, you know, we've reached the end. So really, you know, excited that we did it. Like, that's so crazy that we did it. So
it feels like just yesterday you were like, I have this crazy idea, hear me out.
Yeah. Well, we do have a few things that we want to do today. One is we've gotten some like emails from people that we wanted to touch on and talk about, you know, some questions that they had. So we're going to start with that first. And so we got an email from Akil, and they said that, hey, Matt and Drea, it was a journey. I joined you when you were almost starting book 7, and it was a marathon for me to catch. But oh my God, Jana style, they said. So it'd be like, oh my God, Jana. It was a journey. Proud to be a pot ahead now. So I don't know why I keep reading it as Janice, but they said a small request, and almost at the end, please start a new journey, maybe The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings or anything else. Let's just not stop this beautiful habit between us, reading and waiting for you guys to interpret and discuss our reading. A proud Slytherin. Well, we will answer the question about if we have anything coming up next, but we just want to say thank you so much. It's so cool that like people have found us on this journey, like at all different points. So
I know.
I love that they
admitted to being a Slytherin. I think that's amazing.
Yes.
I know we've talked about it throughout this, so there's no bad house, right? There's just certain personality types inclined to certain others. So own that Slytherin-ness. I have a good friend whose son is a Slytherin, and like, just lean into it. I love it. Keep on keeping on.
Yeah, it's very cool. So you know, we appreciate you writing in, and you know, it means a lot to us that people do write in and you know, have spent their time writing in and giving us questions or just telling us that they think we're doing a great job, which, you know, for any podcaster, just FYI, for any of the podcasts you listen to, people like hearing that. So, you know, if you have other podcasts you listen to or like, you know, let them know if you like what they do. Support them. You know, that it's a
big
deal.
We're talking into the ether every week. It's nice to know there's someone on the other end of it, right? And that
Absolutely.
They like or have thoughts on what you're sharing. Yeah, for sure.
So we have another email here from Jenny. She said, hello from Australia. I'd just like to thank you for the hours of entertainment, enjoyment, listening to your podcast is giving me. I discovered you back in 2019 and began yet another series reread while listening along with the podcast. It's definitely been hard to read through the book slowly to make sure I never ran out of podcast episodes to listen to. I can't believe we've reached the end. I loved the discussions between the two hosts, and it made for such a richer experience. Despite having reread the series multiple times, there were still a lot of things that I'd never thought of or realized. Thank you for making my favorite series even better. I'm already looking forward to rereading the books and listening to the podcast again, which, wow. Like, the fact that we could, like, bring new ideas to anybody when it came to Harry Potter, I think is really cool. So that is something that for me has meant a lot, hearing from Harry Potter fans who, you know, of course, many of you guys have read the series as many times as Drea and I did, maybe even more.
Definitely. I agree. I also love how much that really speaks to bringing different voices and exposing yourself to new things, even if it's familiar, right? Like you learn, you can continue to learn. There's always more opportunity to grow and to think of things from a different perspective, right? And that's part of why I love doing this with you, Matt, is that you and I come from different worlds, different backgrounds, have different beliefs and perspectives. And so being able to bring both to the table and challenge each other to think was probably my favorite part of the last 4+ years. So.
Yeah.
So on top of that, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been excellent, the fact that we don't always see eye to eye on things, and that makes for an interesting podcast and discussion about something as big and cool as Harry Potter. And so we got an email to hear from Danny, and she said, "Hey, Matt and Drea, I know that you have now finished reading the series, and I'm so sad to be so far behind, but I wanted to say hey, and that I wish... I was reading with you from the beginning. I grew up similar to you, reading the books out loud with my mom at night when I was 8 years old when they came out, and have read the books in loop ever since. It was so awesome to read them with you and to feel like I'm discussing them with friends on a different level. I'm now up to the Firebolt on POA and found your podcast a few weeks ago. I listened on the way to work and before bed." She did hashtag mom life, which of course you know all about that. Yeah. What up? And so she just wanted to say thank you for this intellectual adult chat about her favorite topic. She said, "I am from Australia, so we get the English-British versions of the book. So it is cool seeing the differences that there are." And we talked a little bit though about those specifically at the beginning. I have the digital English versions, British versions, as well as I have the physical copies of those too, and those are the only ones I read anymore. So there aren't as many differences as you get
later
into
the series.
Yeah. So,
they're super apparent, especially by title at the very beginning.
Well, that's true. Yes.
But yeah, it starts to taper off as you go.
She did say, "I've been wondering in the Chamber of Secrets when Lucius is confronted about dropping the book into Ginny's bucket, it makes me wonder, was it ever explained how or why he did that? Like, was he approached by the Dark Lord to do this? Do we ever have an actual understanding of what the book was? I know it was explained that Malfoy and the other pureblood families wanted the chamber to remain open to rid the world of Muggleborns and Half-Bloods, but what are your thoughts? I may have missed something here. Guessing you're busy, hoping you get a chance to reply, Danny." Well, we're going to reply right now, Danny. And from what I remember, Drea, is that Malfoy did not know what the book was. But if you remember in that book, the ministry has been doing raids of different houses. And one of the reasons that Malfoy was selling things at in Diagon Alley at Nocturne was the fact that he was worried that the ministry might come and some of the things would be embarrassing for him to run into. And it's also said later, I think even by Albus Dumbledore to Harry, which is, you know, there's no way that Lucius would have given this book away if he had an idea of what it was, which was a Horcrux. And so he's literally just trying to get rid of it. And if Ginny gets caught with it, of course, and they find out what it is, that the fact that it, you know, belonged to Tom Riddle, which, aka Voldemort, that would of course get the Weasleys in trouble as a family. So really he's just being a total jerk and trying to help himself out by not getting caught with something that could be seen as incredibly dangerous, and but he doesn't have any idea as to what it is.
Yeah, I think, you know, we come to learn that obviously that's the big thing of the chapter, right? Like that's how they get the chamber open, but I don't think he equated opening the chamber to that book. And yeah, to your point, it was back when he was trying to rid any dark magic artifacts from his home, and he probably only knew where it came from. Like he only knew it was something of Voldemort's, which at this point we also don't know for a fact that Voldemort's back, right? Like he hasn't really confirmed that yet. We are, what, 2 books early on that? And so he probably just thinks Voldemort's gone. I know it's a dark artifact, have no idea what it is or how it works. I just don't want to get caught with it. And probably is looking to offload it at Borgin and Burks and either can't or sees the opportunity at that moment, right? With Ginny and her bag, and he's like, well, I'll I'll just dump it there and we'll two for one. I won't get in trouble. And Arthur Weasley will, you know, I'll tarnish his rep and he'll have to stand for it, you know. And they all hated him since he was such a goody goody Boy Scout. You know, this was an opportunity to knock him down a peg. So I think it was kind of all of the above there. But yeah, no, I agree with your assessment, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's it is really interesting. So, and it just goes to show, I mean, how many of these things, like even his selfishness and jerkiness, end up working out for the betterment of everyone, because, you know, we end up destroying
a Horcrux.
Exactly. They didn't even know it.
Inadvertently.
So.
Yep.
Yep. Total accident. So, Joanna, wrote us in and she said, I just found you on Spotify this week and you are keeping me company while working. Thank you. Love from Portugal. And I have to say, you know, it's been so cool, Drea. Just the amount of people who found us from like all over the world has been really neat. And so I feel like I have friends now all over the world. And that's just really cool.
The one lady who offered for you to come stay with her in Australia, if you ever made
it out there. I know. I know. I totally feel like we need to take her up on that because I've always wanted to go to Australia. So
I know. Yeah. I might need to prioritize New Zealand. So if anyone out there is New Zealand, I feel like I need to do a Lord of the Rings walk, kind of an earlier callback to the question, but I feel like I need to go to the Shire before I go to like Sydney or something.
I 100% agree with you. So if we do have any fans that are listening to us, listeners from New Zealand, and you don't mind hosting Drea and I, we would definitely come and do a Harry Potter pilgrimage to then enjoy some Hobbit pilgrimages. So
yeah,
that would be cool.
We have ultimate nerd status here, guys.
Yeah, exactly. So we have had the question a million times, Drea, as to what we're going to do next. And so I think maybe it's kind of time for us to answer that question as to what we will be doing in the future. So one, we've gotten the question of whether or not we would cover like The Cursed Child or maybe the movies or maybe even just the screenplays for, you know, the Fantastic Beasts series. And so what do you think?
So for me, The Cursed Child, so we'll tackle these one by one, right? So the movies are the easiest one. We've done them. They're over on the 602 Club. We've done all the Harry Potters.
Episodes 108 and 208 are actually the movies for the Fantastic Beasts series. So you
can find
those there.
And I was
going to
say, we've done Fantastic Beasts and we'll do the next one when it comes out. I actually think I'm on all of the Harry Potters with you. If not, it's close. But all of the movies have been done by us, at least. Fantastic Beasts is so the book itself is just like, it's like an encyclopedia if you've read it,
right?
It's a biography of all these different animals, so it doesn't really make for interesting radio. And then when we get into the screenplays of both Fantastic Beasts and The Cursed Child, the screenplay is the movie, so I don't feel like we need to do the Fantastic Beasts screenplay. He's shaking his head in agreement. And The Cursed Child, for me...
Yeah, that makes for great radio, too, me just shaking my head. Yeah.
That's why, yep. And The Cursed Child. So, I actually have not read The Cursed Child. I've read bits of it. I've read reviews of it. But my understanding is it's going to ruin everything I know and love about the Harry Potter world. So, I don't want to see it. And in addition, I feel like content of that sort, when you have a screenplay, it's meant to be seen. It's meant to be experienced. It's meant to be a play mm-hmm. that you live through. And I would rather do a recording of seeing the play if they kind of like put it on Disney Plus or something like that, like they did with Hamilton. But I don't want to read the book and give a review of the book.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the things with The Cursed Child is obviously it's a screenplay. And so therefore, to break it up the way that we do now wouldn't necessarily really work because, you know, this is made easy with a book where you have specific chapters you can talk through the way we did. And
you have to break it up by like acts.
Yeah, or scenes or whatever. And it doesn't quite work the same. And so, you know, I've read it and it was fine, but I think it would be much more interesting to actually see it because it's meant to be seen. It's a play. It's meant to be experienced in the same way that honestly, a movie is meant to be experienced in the theater or, you know, at your home.
On your projector in your backyard with all your friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're meant to experience it visually, not in writing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so I think all of those things, you know, those don't really fit. What we did here. Now, as per, like, would we do another series, like, you know, Lord of the Rings or something like that? You know, I think all of those things could be open possibly one day in the future. But as per just starting it right now, it's not going to be something we would do. I would say, obviously, doing, like, The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings together, that is an incredibly massive undertaking compared to...
That's another decade of our lives. Yeah.
It is a lot of work. And as much as we've loved doing this, I'm definitely excited that we did something that had a specific run and it allows us to be able to be done and to move on and do other things. So we'll definitely be covering the Fantastic Beasts movies as they come out on the 602 Club. So you can find all of our Harry Potter episodes there, like you said, or our Fantastic Beasts conversations there as well.
And if Cursed Child does become something we can view, right, then that's definitely something we would probably put out on 602 Club as well, mm-hmm, and watch that way. And so that is where you would find that if that became an option in the future.
Yes. And, you know, I think, who knows what podcasting-wise will come in the future. We don't know. But, you know, one of the things that I think is we wrapped up the series, and I wanted to ask you a question, which I think is really interesting, because I don't know if a lot of people thought that Harry Potter would kind of stand the test of time. And so far, it really has. And obviously, you know, personally, having just been to Harry Potter World and Orlando, it's huge and people love it and they're spending tons of money on it still. People are still reading the books, still finding the books now. And it's still
the third commercial up on Peacock whenever you stream service. Yeah,
exactly. So why do you think that Harry Potter has stood the test of time?
Whew, that's a great question. I think there's a handful of elements to it that kind of gave it the cocktail for success. One is I think that it's fairly timeless, right? It didn't get a lot of, there's not a lot of elements to it that date it. Like when you watch some movies, I look at the costumes or the hair, or even like I'll see someone use a phone and I can kind of instantly date where that's from. And just based on the way this is created, you don't really get that, right? So even though the first movie is what now? 20 years old, something like that. You don't feel, even reading the book or watching the movie, like you don't feel like it's 20 years old, right? Like there's, let's be fair, there are elements. Some of the CGI in the third one is a little bit rough. Lupin as a werewolf.
CGI in all of them is rough. Yeah.
But for the most part, we're not talking about trying to rewatch something like Bill and Ted's where I'm instantly like, this is not, you know, or the Never Ending Story, which I tried to watch in my 30s and I was like, nope. I think that's one big part. I think the stories themselves they're rooted in things that are kind of universal and aren't dated as well, right? We talk a lot through the last 199 episodes about how even today during the pandemic that nobody could have seen coming, there are elements and themes within these books we relate to on a daily basis. And that alone, I think, makes it, you know, timeless. And until the world corrects all those problems, I think they're going to continue to be relatable. And I don't think we're going to solve the problem with media and the problem with fanaticism and things like that quickly or even potentially ever. I don't mean to be such a pessimist here, but I think the themes are timeless, and I think that keeps it to it. And I think this idea that there's hope and that great things can come from anywhere, from anyone, is inspirational. And we want to feel empowered. We want to feel like we could be Harry, or we could be Ron, or we could be Dumbledore, right? I think there's so many different characters. Like, I related so much to Hermione when I was younger, and now I'm more relating to, you know, maybe a Dumbledore character. But I think there's so much to that that you can take away something different at every stage that you read it to. So I think that's probably the big pieces that stand out to me. What about you? Anything I missed or anything you have for thoughts on it? Plus, everyone loves magic. Who doesn't love magic?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that you touched on that is really important, and the reason I think that Harry Potter lasts is because the themes in it are timeless. And one of the things that Rowling really did well, which was to keep from tying the series too specifically to any point. I know, you know, obviously it is, I mean, there is a timeline, right, for when this is supposed to have kind of happened within the real world, right? But
it's not so specific that you're tied to it,
right?
Yeah.
One of the things that she really did, which really helped, was the fact that she kind of said this before, you know, the digital craze of the world. So this feels, again, very timeless. It, in some ways, it's kind of the thing that, I'm going to use this as an example. I hate the movie Hook. I hate the movie Hook because what it does is that it takes Neverland and turns it into a very 80s-centric, like an early 90s-like place. And the thing about Neverland was that it was timeless. It was this thing that where you would go there and there was nothing that was really tying it to anything. It was very classic things, you know, pirates and Indians and all of these things, that which there isn't a specific time frame for, you know, it just feels timeless. And I think one of the things that Rowling does so well is that she makes Harry Potter feel timeless. You could pick the books up and you can imagine that it's taking place now. There's never really anything that kind of pulls you out and makes you think, oh, wow, that, you know, just throws me back to the 90s, you know. And I think that's really smart. But I also think that the thing that also makes this last is that thematically, she is touching on things to which are historically understood. You know, the themes of good and evil that she hits on, the way in which, you know, governments either rise or fall, the way in which the media interacts with those governments and the people, and all of the things that we've talked about for, you know, 199 episodes, all of those thematic elements are something to which we continue to have as a species have a problem with. And she writes that in a way that helps us see our faults and our victories, and does it in a way that always feels applicable. I can read it, and I did read it, you know, 20 years ago, the same with the same level of applicability of the themes as I do now. Now, how it applies specifically to the time period may change and will change over time, but I think that the themes are so timeless that they will continue to resonate for generations to come. In the same way that people still read The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings and The Chronicles of Narnia and all of these types of books, which people can still get things out. Dune is another one, you know, where, you know, these great books stay with us because people have tapped into something so primordial to who we are thematically that we don't ever feel lost or like they're not relevant anymore. They continue to stay relevant.
Well, and I think, to your earlier point about actually remaining timeless, I think when you enter in, I think this is the thing too. It was human enough, but it entered enough into the fantasy realm. I also did not find myself going, well, if they had a cell phone, this wouldn't have happened, right? Yeah. Like, you, it's enough of a different world that, like, I don't feel like I need to equate it to the more to the real world, if that makes sure. any sense, right? Like,
yeah.
Whereas when I watch Stranger Things, I'm like, if they had cell phones, like, I would, my kids wouldn't be wandering alone in the middle of the night
at right.
12 or whatever, right? Like, but at the same time, I don't have the urge to do that with Harry Potter. And I think it's because we're straight up in a fantasy land versus a weird fantasy event happening in the real world, right? She's created enough of an actual separate universe that I'm not trying to pull in those elements that would kind of break that wall down and break apart the world she's created either. So I think somehow she managed that fine line. It's the same with, like, your point, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. I don't go like, well, when cell phones were invented, right? Or like the right. GPS in their car, right? Like, you don't think about those things because she gives you enough other things in her world that you aren't wanting them. Like, it's not a gap or a hole you feel this need to fill.
Well, and I would say that the best part about the series is that it's fun, and it reminds us of the best of ourselves, which is friends and family. You know, it reminds us of the things that were really important, which is that we're defined by our choices. We're not defined by where we're born or who our parents are or any of those things. We're defined by the choices that we make. And those are the things to which we define ourselves then, as well as others that can define us. And that we have a choice to always be better than our parents. I think that's one, you know, the last chapter, the epilogue where we see Malfoy, right? Malfoy has made a choice. Draco has made a choice to be not his parents, right? And yes, he's still probably a bit, as we said, hoity-toity, but he's chosen to not be like his parents, which is so sold out to this ideology of, you know, pure bloods and that's what matters and all those things. He's probably still got some serious prejudices to him, but he has made the choice to be different. We see that by the end. In fact, even his parents make the choice to be different by the end of the series, right? They're more worried about whether their son is alive than they are about the cause. So, you know, I think that this is a beautiful thing. Like, it's never too late for you and for anyone to make the choice to be different. It's never too late for forgiveness, and it's never too late for redemption. And I think that's one of the things that we see in her series. And the reason I think it continues to be so important is because I would say in many ways our society is starting to lose some of that. And Harry Potter reminds us, no, it's redemption is possible. Forgiveness should be possible. And
absolutely.
That is a message.
1,000%. 1,000%. And I also think she gives our characters permission to not be perfect, right? Like, mm-hmm. every character has some sort of flaw, or makes some sort of choice, right? And that you could even argue Voldemort, you could even argue Umbridge, which I think of are the two worst characters. There are basically no characters that are wholly evil, right? She spent an entire, like, couple of chapters explaining to you how Voldemort became who he is, right? He wasn't born this Antichrist, right? It's a series of events and actions and things that he was predisposed. And, like, there's just all these things that build, right? I think she really truly does give you permission to make a different choice and to show up in a different way tomorrow than you did yesterday, and that it's okay, right? You shouldn't give up on being a better person or being a goodish person because you haven't been so far, right? It's not a lost cause. You can always keep trying and just know that the choices you've made in your past will impact your future. You're never going to completely get away from them, but you can always be better than you were yesterday, and that's okay. Yep. And, you know, you should be welcomed for the choices you're making now and the actions you are continuing to take, not your past.
Right. Well, and then in the end, too, I think what does it say to us is that this story shows us that people should not be continually defined by the mistakes they've made in the past, but by the actions that they take in the here and now. Right. And, you know, that's one of the things that when you get to the end and you have that utter realization of who Snape is, he's the ultimate example of this, right? And part of that is that Snape also kept hidden the very essence of who he truly was, right? He continued to portray himself as being a turd to everyone.
Yep.
And yet he was not, right? And I think the thing about the story is it does help us to see the complexity and the nuance of who people are. And you can go down the road to choose to be the ultimate villain. You know, right. Voldemort makes that choice. Bellatrix makes that choice. Many of the other Death Eaters make that choice, right? But they've made the choice. They've chosen evil over good. And then there are some of those characters that are more in the middle. And then you have the more, I would say, quote unquote, kind of righteous characters like Harry, right? But in the end, they still make the choice to be like that.
There was a whole book or several chapters of a book when we talk about the fifth one, The Half-Blood Prince, and the fact that Lupin and Sirius and James made terrible decisions in their teenage years. They bullied, they ran away, they broke the rules, right? They kind of got a little bit of a cocky attitude to them, right? They weren't perfect people, but ultimately they become sort of our heroes, right? At least to an extent. So I think that it's just evidence of that on the opposite side too, right? Like they made some poor choices as a teenager, but when the important choices came along, they decided different than Snape. And that's almost identical paths that converged based on sort of one key decision, right? And so I think it shows so much how you can be flawed, but still good.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, the series is obviously something that for me personally, and I know for you, it's definitely special. And it's one of the reasons that I wanted to do the podcast and to be able to talk about it, because I do think that Harry Potter is a series that is going to continue to last. And for all of the reasons to which we just discussed, and it's exciting to have been a part of that in any way, shape, and form. For people to be able to now continue to listen to, as you know, the best part about this podcast, except for the fact that Drea's lives at those and I's lives at those point will be forever in audio. Drea's not eternally pregnant, guys. But
shocker. Please no. But, that sounds like my worst nightmare.
Every woman's worst nightmare, right? Like
definitely one of them for sure.
Probably. But I think it is that, you know, people, you can always go back to listen to this for every chapter, you know, and every time you reread it, you can always go back and listen to what we had to say. And it's a lot of fun, and people can continue to, you know, enjoy the podcast for years to come as they find the series, you know, as new kids find the series. I think that's really neat. So I'm super excited for that to happen, and I'm super excited that people joined us, you know, on this journey in the first place. So, you know, before we wrap up, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for joining us on the journey and for supporting us like you did. You made this, you know, one of the best podcasting experiences that I've ever had, and I've been podcasting for like almost 10 years. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll echo that. I mean, I was always touched when people would take the time to reach out and send an email or contact us on Instagram or Twitter or any of the above. You know, we shared the amazing gift we got last week, or last episode, I guess. I agree. It's been an honor to be able to share our thoughts and experience with this thing that means so much to so many people. And have you guys continue to listen, especially the one who said they're going to re-listen, like, bless your heart. But yeah, it's been a pleasure, and I couldn't have asked for a better partner in crime here, or partner in mischief. And you know, the opportunity to just share something that does mean so much to me. I agree. And keep them coming, right? We might not be recording things live anymore and might not be able to share your thoughts or feelings, but you know, we may not remember what we said 3 years ago. We'd have to go back and recant that ourselves. But yeah, there's so much here to it. And you know, not having anything queued up after is nothing to do with the audience or not loving this or not loving the experience. We just have other things ahead of us for now. And, you know, this isn't the last you'll see us together. I'm sure I'll be back on Trek FM at some point, or on the 602 Club. So, yeah, thank you all for coming on the journey with us, for sure. Yeah, that was a very long-winded absolutely. Way of saying that.
No, I mean, I couldn't agree more. So, you know, with that, Drea, obviously, last time for the show. So if people do want to keep track of you and catch up with all the things that you do have going on, where can they find you?
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at PCFChick. More often, you'll find me on Instagram at Drea Coffman, and it's COFFMAN.
And of course, you can find me all over the place, MattRushing02 on most of the social media platforms out there. That's where you can find me. So yeah, definitely follow me, you know, if you want to keep up with what I've got going on. Of course, still doing aggressive negotiations here on the network with John Mills, as each and every week we're talking about Star Wars. And then you can find me over on the TFM network, as Dre and I have been talking about the 602 Club. We're talking about all of the fandoms we love. Again, we have talked about every single Harry Potter movie there, and we've also talked about the Fantastic Beasts series, plus all the other things we love in fandom. There's just so much stuff to be able to talk about, so hope you'll check that out. Of course, doing Snyder Cuts over there as well with John Mills, as we had talked through everything Zack Snyder's directed, doing Literary Treks and The Orb, too. Literary Treks is about the books and the comics of Star Trek, and then of course, you could also find me on The Orb with Chris Jones talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. So, thank you, though, for always checking your outpost.
And for the final time, mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.